It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Thursday, November 25th, 2010. I'm John Moe. I'm thankful you could be with us today. If you've been to Wikipedia lately, you may have seen a message up at the top that says, "A personal appeal from Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales." The site is in its annual fundraising drive, expected to last 2 months. Think about that the next time you're sore about a two-week public radio drive. Wikimedia, the nonprofit group that runs Wikipedia, is trying to raise $16 million. Takes a lot of money to keep servers running for one of the 10 most popular websites in the world, especially since they don't run ads. But the content of the site does not cost anything. It's created and edited by a massive volunteer army. And they're the subject of a new book by Joseph Riegel called Good Faith Collaboration, The Culture of Wikipedia. Riegel is a fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He says, as revolutionary as Wikipedia may seem now, people have been attempting something similar for a long time.
You could actually take it back hundreds of years, perhaps even to Pliny the Elder, Roman statesman and encyclopedist. But I focus my efforts at the beginning of the 20th century with a group of people who called themselves documentalists. Two of them in particular, Paul Otley and H.G. Wells, who a lot of people have probably heard about, they were quite inspired by the idea of microfilm and index cards and binders. And they thought that somehow if you could liberate knowledge from the bindings of a book and rearrange it, make it accessible to everyone around the world, that would just be a wonderful thing, and it would also probably further global accord, might even lead to the lessening of war, because there was this idea that if people truly had the ability to know about one another and communicate with one another, all conflict would go away.
So index cards would cure war?
Yes, potentially. Mm-hmm. And the role of index cards in those 100 years is quite interesting. In fact, there was this early hypertext program called HyperCard, and that certainly inspired a lot of people who thought about wikis in the web.
But there are plenty of wars within Wikipedia, wars over what gets a page and what doesn't. President Obama gets a page. Your houseplant doesn't. But in between, it can get fuzzy.
The word that Wikipedians used to describe this issue is a question of notability. And it's a highly contested issue. In fact, there are dozens of factions, two of the most famous of which are the inclusionists and the deletionists.
So how, in a war between the inclusionists and the deletionists, how do battles get won or lost?
There are a set of norms whereby people are supposed to interact. They talk about having a consensus process. That's a very challenging issue, and I dedicate a whole chapter in the book about it. Often these very open communities that work by consensus but have a churn of contributors have to have someone that kind of breaks the tie in the end. Leadership that sometimes is called in these communities benevolent dictator, the benevolent dictator serves to sometimes arbitrate between those participants of good faith and also to quickly react against those of bad faith who might be attacking or vandalizing the site. I begin the book and talk throughout the book about Nazis, ironically enough, for a number of reasons, including a feared neo-Nazi attack upon Wikipedia. And Jimmy Wales says, I won't wait for the community to come to consensus about what to do. I'll act to protect the community, and then we can figure out if I did anything, was it wrong, what we could do in the future, how to deal with this.
Joseph Riegel's book is Good Faith Collaboration, The Culture of Wikipedia. Other stories we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. An original Apple I computer from 1976 has been sold at auction for $213,000. It's 1,000 times slower than an iPad, but Italian businessman Marco Boglioni bought it anyway. And 59% of Americans will be checking their work email during the holiday weekend, this according to a new survey. It says men are more likely to check in than women, Southerners more than Northerners. We asked our Twitter team of listeners whether they'd be logged on this holiday weekend or not.
I do check email while on vacation or over the holidays because I don't want to get too far behind. Also, it helps validate my existence.
I will check my work email over Thanksgiving because I have that little notification icon on my smartphone that I just hate staring at me and need to get rid of it. I won't actually respond to any emails, though.
Heck no, unless I have to.
I refuse to check work email over the holidays because pie and keyboards don't mix. And why would I want to be without pie?
That's listeners Jeremy Nelson, Jim Hart, Mandy Howell, and Bill Connell. You can join our Twitter team, too. We're at Marketplace Tech on Twitter. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.